Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is The Michael Medved Show.
In this greatest nation on God's green earth, it's a great day when Republicans are looking forward to great victories coming up in November of next year. November this year, tight race in Virginia. And honestly, it could be tremendous momentum if Glenn Youngkin, the Republican candidate for governor of Virginia, actually prevails over Terry McAuliffe, who's increasingly desperate about trying to defend what had once been a fairly prohibitive lead. Not anymore, partially because the issue that Terry McAuliffe himself has provoked by his comments about parents not having the right to influence their children's education. They do, and they will insist on it in their voting in Virginia. And speaking about kids' education, there's some incredibly bad news. And this is reported by Politico. Politico, by the way, is about to be purchased by Axel Springer, which is a leading German media conglomerate. What does that mean in terms of the politics of Politico? Who knows? But it's an interesting sidelight, just like the interesting sidelight that they're now insisting up in Norway that the extremely disturbed and evil person who killed five people with a bow and arrow had a background saying that he was a messenger from God. He did convert about 3 years ago to Islam. He said that he wanted to get on the radio nationally and had special messages to convey. And again, the New York Times is now reporting that experts in Norway say this may not have been terrorism. It may have been just psychiatric problems, and the psychiatric problems go way back. This all goes to one of the real issues in America, would be taking mental illness far more seriously than we do. And taking it seriously as a threat that should be able to lead to restraint to people who are a danger to themselves and others. And no, that does not have to do, that's not like saying, oh, the Nazis, we want to put them in prison camps. No, it's saying that we need to take seriously the rise in crime and the contribution to that rise in crime with people basically not being taken aside from society for a definitive enough term. There's a story in California, where else, about a released murderer who committed murder again. And then it turns out he had served a long jail term even before that. Guy's name was Pearson, and we will get to that story. But first, this story about the murder of national test scores. The students who struggle the most with the exam, this is a national assessment of student learning, have fallen further behind, a worrisome result that suggests learning loss exacerbated by the pandemic could be catastrophic. The nation's 13-year-olds, this reported by Politico, are less proficient in math and reading than they were a decade ago, according to data collected just before the start of the pandemic and released at the end of last week. In the it's the first time that these scores, gathered as part of the National Assessment of Educational Progress long-term trend study, have ever dropped in either math or reading in the 50-year history of the test. and it revealed a concerning pattern. The students who struggle the most with the exam have fallen further behind. A worrisome result that suggests learning loss exacerbated by the pandemic could be catastrophic. Peggy Carr, who is the head of the education department agency that administers the test, has said she was stunned when she saw the decline in math scores. "Are you sure?" Carr recalled telling her staff when she spoke with reporters. "I asked them to double check. The concerning numbers, math scores fell furthest among students whose performance ranked it in the 10th and 25th percentiles, meaning test takers with the lowest math scores in 2020 did worse than the students who struggled the most when the test was first administered in 2012, was last administered 2012. The data also show that the achievement gap between white and black test takers got wider. Nationally, math scores for 13-year-olds fell on average by 5 points, while reading scores declined an average of 3 points. Nearly 9,000 13-year-olds across 450 schools took the test between October 2019 and December 2019. Again, before the pandemic had its full impact or the schools closed, clearly they didn't get better with the schools closed. So we're in a mess. What sense does it make with increased spending on education, and it goes up and up and up all the time, efforts to try to give children more choice in education, efforts to try to inform parents? What are we going to just throw money at this? Are we going to look a little bit more seriously at what is wrong with this picture? And what is wrong with this picture is we spend more money on education than any other country. Best countries in terms of educational performance, South Korea is always up there. Poland is always up there. And generally the best in the world, it's no, it's not Sweden and Denmark, it's actually Finland. But for goodness sake, why can't the United States equal Finland when we spend multiples of what they spend per student? It's incredibly sad. "None of these results are impressive," said Carr, an understatement. The commissioner of the National Center for Educational Statistics, "They're all concerning. The math results were particularly daunting." The center also released data on how 9-year-olds performed, but there were no significant changes in scores on average compared to 2012. Michael Petrilli, who is president of the conservative Thomas B. Fordham Institute, cautioned that the test results are just a snapshot, but still called the declines among 13-year-olds sobering and bad, really bad, across the board. Okay, can you blame this on one side or another politically? Because these tests were actually administered under Trump. But anyone think or guess that under Biden things have gotten better educationally so soon? Yeah, I don't think they're headed in that direction anyway. And especially with the disruptions of the pandemic. One reason the 13-year-olds' scores may have fallen while the 9-year-olds' scores stayed flat is the timing and impact of the Great Recession, Petrilli said. The older test takers were toddlers when the 2008 financial crisis began, so they experienced the worst of that era's school funding crisis as young learners. I don't think it has to do with funding. These students were entering kindergarten when things were really bad, he said. Their families were experiencing unemployment and poverty at home and the impact of lower schools spending in the classroom. It's impossible to know that's the answer, but I think it's part of the story. Except mostly the history of school spending shows that it doesn't reliably improve performance. So what does? What can? We'll talk about that and talk about students and their reaction to diversity mandates coming up on the MedVet Show.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now, 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280, and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Okay, Jeremy, I give up. Is that music for Halloween? It's eerie and otherworldly. That's Sting? Is it the Police or is it Sting? It's Sting, wow. Well, I have been stung. Thank you for illuminating all of that. Maybe you can illuminate this. Is that... basically, there was a piece that was done for the Daily Caller, and it's a series of interviews with college students. And you'll hear the same students being asked two questions. And notice if you can figure out any difference here, which is question number one is, do you believe that it's appropriate to have a diversity quota for students and faculty at your university? And you'll hear what I think you would expect to hear from college students. And the second question is, hey, how about your football team? How about athletics on campus? Should that also have a diversity quota? And that's all. They don't say a diversity among what racial groups or what ethnic background or even gender. I mean, yeah, I mean, shouldn't they really have a diversity quota with trans students? Now, of course, no one would favor a diversity quota of trans students for female to male students, but the other way around. Never mind. The response for these students, first the question about diversity quotas in general. This is clip 8A.
Talking first about diversity just in general, do you think diversity should be a factor in hiring decisions and in college admissions processes?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Probably they should probably have diversity quotas for like college admissions and a bunch of other things. I think they already have quotas though, but like those are definitely a good thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think it's an absolute necessity.
Yeah, everyone should have an equal part in anywhere, really.
As a first-generation college student from a Hispanic household, it's very important.
Should we develop diversity quotas for, you know, the workplace or for college admissions? How they usually work is if a population is 35% Hispanic, then the school in that region, I guess, would also have to be 35% Hispanic in its student population to reflect the demographics of the larger community. Is that something that you would support?
Yeah, I would support that. Yeah, I totally support that.
I mean, that sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, Sam, I think it definitely should be taken into account.
Absolutely. There should be more diversity in basically every single field.
Okay. Let the record show that presumably these students who are answering with such enthusiasm are students who have already been admitted to whatever school it is that they're attending. And so, any quota that includes them, sure, that's fine. But what about sports? And that was the next question. Listen.
So what about diversity quotas on sports teams, college sports teams? Do you guys think?
No, I think that should be skill-based.
Yeah, absolutely. Same thing.
Same thing. We want to win no matter, like, what you are.
Probably not. I feel like it should be based off talent. That's something that's a little bit different.
With sports, it's definitely more emphasis placed on ability.
Sports is different than college. Sports is not the same. I mean, talent is talent is talent is talent.
I don't think we should. Like, college sports is about, like, getting the best players for your team, and I don't think we should focus on which race or ethnicity to get.
I think a diversity quota for any sports team, it doesn't make much sense. It should be based on skill.
I see nothing wrong with the current roster right now. I think it's perfectly fine. If they're the best players fit for the job, then they deserve the spot.
I don't necessarily think that it's a bad thing that these people are just better at the sports that they play.
Okay, but what about, say, a microbiologist who might be just better at the sport that he plays, which is microbiology? What about a brain surgeon? What about a physicist or any expert field, which is presumably why you're going to university, is to develop that expertise? What this is unbelievably revealing about is it shows that for a lot of these kids, and I understand they haven't thought about it deeply and they haven't figured it out and they probably were just stopped on their way to class or their way to lunch or something like that, and they asked, are you in favor of diversity? Well, they have to say yes, otherwise, the thought police come after you. I mean, however, The fact that it doesn't occur to any of them when they're being questioned, and these are the same kids who are saying, yeah, diversity, that's a good thing, I'm for that, yeah, I'm for that. But when it comes to sports, they're saying, I'm not. It shows either one of two things. And what it, I think it shows most prominently and most certainly is that they take sports seriously. They don't take academics seriously at all.
Talent is talent is talent is talent.
Yeah, talent is talent, and that's true. Basically, there are just going to be some quarterbacks who are more talented than other. Nice try, Geno Smith. And it was a spirited try. But we're all eager to have Russell Wilson back. That's a side remark. But yes, there's all sorts of different talent when it comes to quarterbacks. There's also different levels of talent when it comes to mathematicians, when it comes to chemists, when it comes to writers, when it comes to every different kind of endeavor. Talent is talent is talent is talent. Some people are better than others. Abraham Lincoln, I was talking about him with a group of people last night. This is a guy who had less than a year and a half total schooling, let alone he was the first person in his family ever to go to college. He never went to college. Not a day. Nothing. And he's arguably the best English language prose writer, period, ever. And incredibly brilliant, knew Shakespeare by heart. And again, to say talent is talent is talent is talent, but that applies only to athletics. The other thing that this shows is that people know that sports may not be diverse, but it certainly gives an equal opportunity to people of color. But then again, it's not even with the various people of color. People from the Philippines are less heavily represented in sports teams, even though there are millions of them here in the United States, than people who are African American. And that idea that basically they believe in diversity, mandated diversity, for everything other than sports, and that was pretty clear by those answers, but not for sports, shows the hypocrisy and the contradiction at the very heart of the belief in mandated quotas. When we come back, another position that shows a contradiction, which is a profound desire for Democrats to expand government at a time when more and more Americans want to shrink government. What does that mean? What does it mean for the future? We'll talk about that with Catherine Rampell coming up on the MedVet Show.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than sunny-bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now, because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality-made travel pillows, or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come at a wide variety of uses. Apply hot or cold therapy, and are all made in the USA. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Reaction continuing to come in to Colin Powell, the Secretary of State during the presidency of George W. Bush and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff during the first Gulf War, passing at the age of 84 because of complications from COVID-19. United States Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin on Monday speaking about Powell's death.
The world lost one of the greatest leaders that we have ever witnessed. Alma lost a great husband. and the family lost a tremendous father.
Texas officials are calling on President Biden to secure the U.S.-Mexico border. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick on Fox News saying what President Biden should be doing differently.
He should have not stopped building the wall. He should have not stopped enforcement. He should have not stopped MPP. This is all on his hands.
USA Radio News.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Catherine Rampell is an opinion columnist at the Washington Post. She frequently covers economics, public policy, immigration, and politics, with a special emphasis on data-driven journalism. She wrote a piece that caught my attention about an annual measure that is put forward by the Gallup Poll organization, and a measure that showed that there had been a very sharp shift in public opinion in terms of whether the American people wanted a bigger, more activist government, or they wanted government to shrink down and cost less. Catherine, I'm very pleased you can join us.
Glad to join you.
Okay, you basically sent out a message that was a warning message to Democrats based upon this and other polling. There's a similar Pew poll that shows the same result. What is the warning Democrats need to heed?
Democrats have seen a number of polls suggesting that the individual components of their big budget plans, things like child care, paid leave, free community college, lower Medicare drug prices, et cetera, all of those things individually poll well. However, if you ask the American people, do they want a bigger government that does more to solve problems or a smaller government that does less, this year the American public has said, we want a government that does less. And the question is, why do those two findings seem to be at odds? Why is it that the American people are supportive of all of these individual policies that would increase the footprint of government, but not the cumulative impact? And I think this is an issue that Democrats have to grapple with. They have to figure out why it seems to be that their voters' preferences are a little bit in contradiction here. And I think the answer has to do with partly the fact that Americans don't like the idea, historically have not liked the idea of, you know, a cumulatively bigger government, even if they are supportive of individual policies. That's kind of always been the case. It's partly that the American public doesn't really know what's in Democrats' budget bill. So if you ask people, are you supportive of free child care? They say yes. But if you say, did you know that child care was in the bill? They say no.
I think there was a messaging problem
and a philosophical problem here.
Yeah, that the Gallup people say they found that about 10% of Americans could even identify one specific aspect of this big bill. They just know, they know all about is how much it's going to cost. What they don't know is what it's going to do.
Right. And I think that's partly a failure of those of us in the media. You know, so much of our conversation has been focused on that top line number, $3.5 trillion or whatever it ends up being, and not as much about the guts of the legislation. But it's also partly an inherent, you know, consequence of the fact that Democrats are trying to do so many things. It's actually quite difficult to describe what the agenda is because it's a little bit of everything. And my feeling is, in general, particularly if Democrats have to slim down this package because a couple of their more moderate Senate members want that, and maybe voters do as well, what Democrats should do is to prioritize. Rather than trying to do all of these things that, again, are individually popular and slim them all down by keeping them in the bill but funding each thing a little bit less, they should say, okay, maybe this time around we're not going to do free community college, but we are going to do universal pre-K. Or maybe this time around we're going to close the Medicaid, but we're not going to expand Medicare. Or whatever the priorities are. But I think that would be a much more effective strategy, again, prioritizing, doing fewer things better rather than a as well. That would be useful for messaging, you know, for so that the public knows what's in the legislation, and also probably will result in better execution of those programs.
Except when it comes to that, Pramila Jayapal and the other people in the Progressive Caucus don't seem to be very interested, at least at the moment, in actually trying to bring down the bottom line and trying to make this a more moderate, prioritized, here's point one, two, three. I mean, they seem to be committed to the soup to nuts kind of sweeping and very expensive reform and would consider anything else a defeat. That's their position now.
Yes, their position is that they want to do everything. When pressed, they will say, we still want to do everything, but fund each thing for fewer years. Or, you know, give every program a haircut. I know Representative Jayapal has given a couple of interviews where she basically said, well, maybe we can do some programs for 5 years instead of 10 years. And I do understand the appeal of that because there are so many programs that Democrats want to get through. They think this is their one and only chance to lay the groundwork for all of them. Maybe they should just try to do all of them. And just as Representative Jayapal and others have suggested, fund them for fewer years so it looks like it costs a little less money. But there are a few problems with that strategy in my view. One is that you still have this issue where it's this kind of scattershot approach. The public doesn't really, it's hard for the public to understand what's going on. Media can do a better job, as I said, but I think it's just inherently difficult to understand an agenda that tries to do everything. And I think it's going to be, you're going to have worse implementation because you're going to have these sharp cliffs where programs end. It's going to be hard for the government to adequately plan. It's going to be hard for anybody else who interacts with the government to adequately plan, including child care providers, amongst others. And they're just, you know, there aren't that many resources within government agencies. You know, the Health and Human Services Department would have to plan several major complex new endeavors within a very short period of time with fewer resources for each. And so my fear is that that strategy, the soup to nuts strategy, as you put it, scaled down, smaller soup and smaller nuts, I guess, you know, in that analogy.
Thinner soup.
Will result in things being done less well, and you'll get a big backlash. Already the American public doesn't like the idea of a bigger government. Now just imagine a bigger government that that doesn't deliver on any of these kinds of
things. And that costs something. I mean, President Biden has said, and I'm sure that any reasonable person would think it to be ridiculous, has said repeatedly, this doesn't cost anything. This doesn't cost anything. That's because he's basically claiming that he's going to reassign money and he's going to get new money from new taxes. Obviously, I think every fair-minded, open-minded person would acknowledge that if even part of this gets done, it's going to require some kind of increase in revenue. I mean, we're pretty much maxed out, aren't we, with the money we're going to be borrowing?
Well, to be fair, President Biden, when he laid out his version of this bill back in the spring, I think it was, did have a number of revenue increases where he said, okay, we're going to do this set of things that cost money, and we're going to do this set of things that raise money, including, for example, raising the corporate income tax rate, giving more money to the IRS so that they could collect tax revenue that's already owed, that, you know, people are cheating on their taxes, find the tax cheats, raise the capital gains rate, et cetera. So President Biden did have a number of what we call pay-fors. However, Democrats in the House and the Senate have gotten cold feet.
Well, of course, and just last word here, when people say to pollsters, we don't want bigger government, don't they also indicate, and I know Gallup asked this as a subsidiary question, do you want higher taxes? People don't. They don't think new programs are worth higher taxes. Isn't that a fundamental contradiction to what the Democrats are trying to do?
Again, Democrats have said they will not raise taxes on anybody making under $400,000. I think that they're going to have trouble even raising taxes on many people making above that amount of money, given some of the things they've already taken off the table. But yes, I think Americans are right to be skeptical that this thing will be paid for, and that that won't, if it's not paid for, ultimately someone's going to have to pay for it. Yeah.
Catherine Rampell, opinion columnist for the Washington Post, thank you for your time. I hope you'll join us again. We will be right back on the MedVed Show.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results. And after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone. But the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone. And so, therefore, my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833 654 pain. Okay, how crucial are faith and freedom really to America? Ronald Reagan called faith and freedom the twin beacons that brighten the American sky. What did Reagan mean? Well, you can find out at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, which has just launched a new course on the legacy of Ronald Reagan. This is very important because the course is posted online at the Institute's website, faithandfreedom.com. The course is led by Reagan biographer and expert Dr. Paul Kangor, frequent guest on my show. And the course includes Professor Kangor's one-on-one interviews with the likes of Bill Bennett, Ed Meese, Peter Robinson, Michael Reagan, and more. It's a remarkable offer that you will truly not find anywhere else, and it's free. Yeah, it's actually free. While you're there at faithandfreedom.com, also check out the many articles and lectures on topics from freedom of conscience to critical race theory, from Madison and Lincoln to Churchill and Reagan. You can find all of this and much more on the website at the Institute for Faith and Freedom, Faith and Freedom.com.
We know that the 1% globalist elites have hijacked and subverted the U.S. economy, culture, and government. The battle to take America back begins with Scott McKay, the Patriot Street Fighter, and his Advancing the Fork in Line tour. Now here's Scott.
Hi, this is Scott McKay, better known as Patriot Street Fighter, the high-octane, full-throttle truth hammer, and I'm bringing the Advancing the Fork in Line tour to a city near you. I and a host of other speakers will be on stage with an arsenal of issues from health rights, human rights, and the freedom given to us by the founding fathers who drafted the Constitution for the United States of America. This is a ticketed event, and you can get tickets at PatriotStreetFighter.com. I'm looking forward to personally seeing many of you there.
The Patriot Street Fighter Advancing the Fork and Line Tour tickets can be purchased at PatriotStreetFighter.com. For tour dates and information, or to purchase your tickets, go to PatriotStreetFighter.com. That's PatriotStreetFighter.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Michael Medved Show, a reminder that you can still take advantage of a very special offer from the Medved History Store that actually gives you free access to everything in our history store, all of the history programs we have ranging from the early colonial period to actually history of ancient Israel going up to the present day conflict with the Palestinians. In history of World War II, I was just reading a fascinating new research, actually, about the surrender and the loss of France, which we also have in one of our history programs. Now, all of this is available to you for free. You can download it anytime you want. If you become a MedHead Plus member, that means you get an enhanced membership to our daily broadcast, which gives you access to it commercial-free anytime you want to download it, and more. Check it all out. It comes to 22 cents a day. It's a great deal. And people have been very pleased, I think we can say, with this particular new service, and we're glad it's so popular. So take advantage. 22 cents a day, MedHead Plus membership. Go to michaelmedved.com or to medvedhistorystore.com and look for the MedHead Plus banner. Okay, right now, there was a brief interview over at Axios with Bill Cassidy, who's a physician. He is one of the most respected senators on either side of the aisle, I will tell you. He's from Louisiana. And Louisiana has been suffering with a terrible level of infection by COVID-19, hospitalization. Hospitals are very crowded. So he was naturally asked about that and about President Biden's handling of the vaccine mandate. And then he talked about that and talked a little bit about the future presidential run, which everyone is talking about, by President Trump. This is Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, 7A.
In your home state of Louisiana, it has been one of the slowest to vaccinate. It's always in the bottom 10, 57% of America vaccinated, about 10 points less here in Louisiana. What is wrong?
Well, first, we're recovering. The incidence of Delta is coming down dramatically.
But vaccination rate is still 10 points beneath the national average.
Yeah, there's been a lot of skepticism about the way that the federal government has rolled out their pronouncements. Believe me, there could not have been a worse messaging job in Washington
about this illness. President Biden's mandate that anybody who employs 100 or more people or does business with the government, you are against that.
That's a total overreach of what the federal government should be doing. I mean, we...
But it's going to encourage some vaccinations, maybe a lot. That will save some lives, maybe a lot. Is that worth it?
We are always balancing personal freedom with a nanny state. And we're lining up somewhere along the way.
Not a definitive answer, but somebody who definitely was hearing both sides. He's not hearing both sides on another issue. This is clip 7B.
You were one of seven Republican senators who voted to convict President Trump right before he left office. Right after that, the Republican Party of Louisiana censured you. You are a sitting Republican senator from Louisiana. What the hell?
Yeah, they just chose a censor, but that's I slept very well that night.
And you gave a very simple reason, a very clear reason for voting the way you did. You said he was guilty.
I take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when there was a pattern of behavior that culminated, as it did, on January the 6th, and we've had revelations since, that just led me to that decision.
You assume President Trump runs in 2024?
He's certainly saying that he's going to. Whether he does or not, we don't know.
If he runs, he wins the nomination.
I don't know that. President Trump is the first president, in the Republican side at least, to lose the House, the Senate, and the presidency in 4 years. Elections are about winning. So
that's super interesting. You think that if he ran, he could lose the nomination?
Well, if you want to win the presidency, and hopefully that's what voters are thinking about, I think he might.
But it's clear you ain't voting for him.
I'm not.
And that's Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana. And this is one of the real problems that is going to be facing Republicans, and it's not just that Donald Trump and his supporters, it's all Republicans, which is that right now the division is so close between Republicans and Democrats, it literally could be one Senate seat again. It was one Senate seat last time. If Kelly Loeffler had beaten John Ossoff, or if... David Perdue had gotten reelected over Raphael Warnock, then it may have been a different matchup, opposite matchup of those two. But in any event, the Republicans would still have clear control of the Senate. There'd be none of this Kamala Harris breaking ties or Democrats in charge of all the committees in both houses, in the Senate of the United States. So with five votes in the House and one vote in the Senate being the determination, President Trump has been very clear. He's very, very eager to knock off people who have been critical of him in the Republican Party. And that makes it much harder for Republicans to try to win control of the House and the Senate this time. And it's one of those things that has been talked about a lot among Republican leadership, where obviously the whole name of the game, and it's a game of life and death, it's a game of political future, it's a game of Republican survival, of actually winning back at least one of those houses of Congress in this interim election. So we will see if that happens. And I assume that Dr. Cassidy, that Senator Cassidy, will be part of it. Meanwhile, something you might even consider being part of, one of the best movies of the year was released on Friday. And it's gotten, and I think well-deserved, mostly ecstatic reviews. Here is mine of The Last Duel. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
In medieval France, a nobleman played by Adam Driver stands accused by his longtime rival Matt Damon of a horrible crime that can only be judged through trial by combat in The Last Duel from acclaimed Gladiator director Ridley Scott, now playing in theaters.
The most unspeakable charge has been brought against you.
He attacked me.
The accusation is false.
I am telling the truth.
That's Jodie Comer, who was so outstanding in Free Guy, in a totally different role as a young wife who says she's been cruelly raped. Believe it or not, the whole fascinating story is based on history that unfolded in 1387. And the screenplay, co-written by Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, is brilliant, well-researched, and utterly compelling. The Last Duel is an amazing achievement, managing to forge an intimate connection with complicated characters from more than 600 years ago. Very graphic sex and violence for an R rating, but also a rating as one of the year's best films and 4 stars. And one of the things you should be prepared for is that last duel of the title, where two men are fighting to clear themselves, and one of them will not survive. That's the whole idea of trial by combat. That duel unfolds in real time, which is remarkable. And yes, it is thrillingly staged, but it's very brutal. And again, it's one of those films that will stick with you and will probably lead to some significant Oscar nominations. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to spend a few moments at least in the strange warped world of the so-called baby doomers. Why are couples putting the planet ahead of parenthood? Asked the Spectator in the United Kingdom, outside of the pond. What we once perhaps dismissed as the fringe fear of a few activists is now a force in world demographics. Younger people are saying publicly, no, we're not going to have children because it would be bad for nature. Is that even true? Would the planet be better off with a birth dearth and families not having children for their own future and for the future of the world? Also, a yoga teacher and students were meditating on paddle boards but swept into the ocean. And then what happened? We will get to that, plus a sacred American institution, Hooters, is adjusting its policy to deal with controversial new uniforms. What? Make those uniforms optional. And though uniform optional doesn't mean nudity, but it does mean trouble in Hooters paradise and in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
I'm Al Simon, 91 years young. I created Balance 7 20 years ago. At 67, I went to see the doctor for the first time in my life and found that I had medical problems. He told me that was normal for my age. I don't believe God intended us to be sick and old. I decided to find something to bring my health back. For 10 years, I studied pH and how important it is to the human system. Balance 7 gave me back what I lost by getting older. I no longer get out of bed with a joint discomfort. Balance 7 can do for you what it has done for me and many others. In 3 days' time, you'll feel more energy, less joint discomfort, and clarity of thinking. No doctor or hospital can do what Balance 7 can do for you. Balance 7 is the key to unlocking the healthy immune system. Bring your body back to balance.
Order now. Receive free shipping with the code word AL. Go to balance7.com. That's balance7.com. Order now and get your free shipping and a free gift with your order. Go to balance7.com. Use the code word AL.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.